This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Big Brand Energy. My God, it has been a while since I've been up in this podcast feed. So thanks for having me. Thanks for remaining here. And welcome to all the new people in my Big Brand Energy world. I have been busy these last few months, literally since I got back from Europe last year. I swear to God, it's been a whirlwind. So I'm really excited to be back in your ears. I'm going to be in this podcast feed a lot more regularly now. So that's something to look forward to for you guys and for myself, actually, because I friggin' love it. I love being with the Big Brand Energizers. Ooh, oof, did not plan that one. That, I don't know if that landed for you to be called a Big Brand Energizer, the Energizers. That might be the name. I'm going to let that simmer, but that actually felt good leaving my mouth. Anyway, so I'm really excited to be in your ears on your Spotify video or YouTube, wherever you're watching this. If you're watching it, hello, welcome to Cap Girl Era. If you've been following my Instagram, you know that I've been trying on being a cap girl for size. And boy, oh boy, is it taken me by storm. I'm loving it. The thing is, I wanted to stop wearing SPF because of reasons about finding out it's kind of poisonous for you. Whole different conversation, not even going to get into it. But anyway, I found that out and I was like, okay, I need to, on my runs, have some sort of protection because we're aging and we're wanting to remain youthful. And yeah, anyway, got into caps there. Then I've just been trying to wear it at the beach and now she's wearing it in a casual outfit, which is just phenomenal news. And this is why having a video podcast is beneficial because you can get feedback from your listeners about your fashion. So looking forward to hearing about your thoughts on my cap. Cap aside, this podcast is going to be all about sustainable growth for entrepreneurs and creators. And I use that term actually interchangeably a lot. I'm going to be using it interchangeably a lot in this episode because at the end of the day, like, I don't really care if you're an entrepreneur, if you have a business, or whether you are just, you identify as a creator because you're a career girlie or you're a freelancer or you have, you know, a podcast or a platform that you're trying to grow. Because at the end of the day, if I can help people work towards, you know, exiting the matrix and stop working for the man and instead build wealth by monetizing your platform or by growing an audience, then I'm stoked with that. And honestly, all my insight and advice applies to that person as much as it does for a service provider or business owner. So sit back, relax, enjoy if you identify in any of those areas because you're going to get a lot from this. I have been thinking about this term, like sustainable growth, a little bit lately because I'm now to my third year of business of owning On Track, and there's been like certain things that have come up for me in terms of my expectation around the growth that I've experienced as an entrepreneur, as a person, and also the growth that my business has actually experienced, which is something else entirely. This episode is really going to be speaking to what I actually think is important to be able to achieve this sustainable growth, the lessons I've learned so far, and also the things that I have, I guess, witnessed within my clients and those around me who have actually experienced this really high level of growth, which, yeah. So I'm actually going to be drawing on a word I've already highlighted as the first part of this episode, which is expectation. I have experienced I've sort of realized that I had placed a lot of expectation on myself to get to a certain point, to be a certain kind of person at a certain point in my journey. And I think that this has limited the sustainability of my growth largely. Now, I'm going to unpack that a little bit more, but I also want to say as a caveat, I actually believe that this wound, quote unquote wound, or this trigger or this experience would, in my opinion, look very different to every single creator out there. And that's purely because we are triggered by different things, had different upbringings and all the things. But I'm going to speak into what it looked like for me and then explain what I think causes that. And you can draw from that whatever it is that resonates. There is this super obvious version of this conversation, which is like, do you have attachment to outcome? Do you have expectations on yourself that are unsustainable? Like, that's an obvious conversation, which is, you know, has, I have a space for. But for me, I think that what I want to highlight is the expectations that you have unknowingly placed on yourself. And this is what I discovered recently. Like, when I was actually experiencing at the back end of last year, a fair bit of, I don't want to say burnout, because I have experienced real burnout before. And this actually had a whole different texture to it. The experience was almost like a sense of numbness. So it's sort of hard to explain. I guess, like, I had fallen out of love with my everyday. And that is because there's elements of exhaustion. There's elements of my personality who, like, just genuinely craves variety and freedom, and not having that in my life made me feel uninspired. I would almost call it uninspired. And I don't think you're meant to feel completely inspired every single fucking day, especially when you are on the grind building something bigger than yourself. It's not, it's blatantly not sustainable to feel inspired. But when you go through a long period of time of not having those sparks of inspiration, it can begin to make, well, it did begin to make me feel like, is this what I want? Is this life that I'm building? Is this business that I'm building what I want? Or is this a past version of myself's dream that I no longer identify with? And that's truly the conversation I was having behind closed doors. And that is, I'm really grateful to have had the level of self-awareness to know that that would pass, and that it equally had a place at the table to be able to, like, look dead in the eye the version of myself that was questioning what I'm building and where my, I guess, intention of what I'm building is. I think the conversation between the two parts of myself that was, like, all in on what I'm creating, and the version who's questioning it, had a very valid part to play in this process that I was having. But what this process actually allowed me to uncover was the hidden expectations that I had on myself that I wasn't aware of. There was the obvious ones, of course, where it was like, I have an expectation to be pulling in so-and-so amount of clients, to be able to be paying my costs, be able to pay my staff, to pay myself, all of these things, like their goals and their expectations or their targets, which obviously have a place in your journey, be that if it's a business or be that if it's just some sort of KPIs you've set for yourself on a personal endeavor or a platform-based endeavor. They have a place, of course. However, there was actually, I realized when I kind of uncovered, like, where this kind of low energy and numbness towards what I was creating came from, that I realized that I had actually placed a very high level of expectation on the timeline of my life. So I didn't know that I had done this, which I want to spell out. I've said a couple of times, but I subconsciously had decided that I needed to have reached a, like, hundreds of clients, servicing hundreds of clients, multi studios around the place, simultaneously having built this component of the business that's consulting based, where I'm running online workshops, I'm doing in-person events. I wanted to be at this point in my life where I felt complete financial freedom, which, given my circumstances as a single woman who has a mortgage, that the interest rates are climbing, and a fucking business that I'm running, you know, there are so many components of my life that wasn't necessarily fair to have that expectation on myself. The goal, valid, but expectation that I would be there in the situation of the economy and personal life, was, when I really thought about it, was like, okay, would I have that expectation of any of my friends, employees? Like, no, I wouldn't. So just realizing that I had this, like, what I felt was quite an unrealistic expectation, was like, oh, okay, I'm probably just feeling a little bit frustrated at my circumstance, and adjusting that expectation could actually free myself of that, which was super interesting. Because what I realized is that I had this expectation that I would be showing up every single day with the exact same energy and up and gusto that I did in the first year of my business, which was, by the way, completely fueled by naivety. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, and that was beautiful and perfect. But, like, now I know more. Of course, I'm a little bit more like, aware of like the obstacles ahead. And not to mention, yeah, I guess like being so far into it. And by the way, I by no means think that 3 years is a long time in business world at all. And I have so much more to learn. I know how green I am, but I know that, but I was running off this narrative where I had this timeline attached to what I am doing and these wildly actually different goals. Like not only did I want all of that in my business life, I had the expectation to be working 4 hours a week. I had the expectation to be able to go on regular holidays and be facilitating all of these things. It's like the goals actually don't match up. Like if you want to be working less, doing more in-person events, for example, where I'm required to attend, doesn't even go along with that. So it's just like the takeaway message I think I want you to have by me sharing this component of my journey is getting clear on what you are chasing is transformative. Like actually defining the level you want to be at a certain point in time will really help you from having the unrealistic or unspecified expectation on yourself, and it will free you. So the moment I was like, okay, what I truly want is to be to have a business where I'm servicing XYZ amount of production clients and to have this amount of team. And then that meant that I could actually reverse engineer my plan in order to get there, as opposed to be half executing this, bringing down this, you know, criticizing myself for not having already done this. It's just like, okay, the goal is clear, which allows that roadmap to be a lot more clear, which in my opinion, like I am a manifesting generator and a freedom junkie. Like I genuinely don't like to be told what to do or how specifically to do it. But I now know that like a strategy is the most freeing thing I've ever fucking come across. Like, and I know this because of my marketing clients, to be honest, because I come up with a strategy and I see it be executed with ease. And then not having that strategy for myself, I'm like, oh, why isn't it that I haven't recorded an episode in however long? Oh, that's probably because I haven't connected to the purpose of recording that episode. I haven't, which meant that I'm not prioritizing it because I'm not seeing that link in the forefront of my mind. Of course, I know it in the back, you know, I'm in this industry, I know the benefit of having recording regular content has, but because I'm not specifically clear on what it is that it's going to do me right now, then I'm not going to prioritize it as much. I'm going to be way more caught up in servicing my production clients or mentoring my staff or putting out fires in, you know, the day to day. That's going to definitely take my attention. Whereas like once you have clarity on like specifics of like, this is what I want, then you're able to build that strategy, and that strategy will ultimately free you because you don't have to be caught up in the mental load of like coming up with it on the fly, which, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones that I actually can do that, but it costs me something. It costs me energy. Whereas like if I've preemptively done it, then I can be sure that it's being executed and I don't have to have like the brain power to be in that phase of fucking, you know, strategic mind when I haven't necessarily got the put aside time for that. So yeah, I just wanted to bring that to your awareness. Like where do you have subtle expectations on yourself and why are they there? Are they relevant? And what can you do to like basically clear the runway for yourself to be like, oh, this is my priority for now. This is what I want. How do I get there? So when we're talking about the steps in order to get to your goal, I mean, I actually talk about my client experience because this is such a good example. So like everyone wants to start a podcast, but the why you want to start it really matters because the goal might look the same, but the journey to get there, like, I mean, for me, I know that a podcast can actually be the vehicle to any element of success. Like I'm talking, you could be attracting investors to invest in your startup. You could be growing an online platform or community. You could be wanting to build awareness about a really important topic to you. You could have a political motivation. You could be a business owner who wants to be developing a really concrete lead generation strategy. You could be an influencer who wants to build an audience, to build a wait list, to launch a product. Like there are so many different goals that a podcast can actually help you get to. But if you don't know what it is specifically for you, then the strategy is not going to be well executed. So this is being used as a metaphor for you. So if you have the goal where you want to be, you know, leave your job, for example, why is that? And the strategy for you is going to look a lot different to the person to your left, because you might want to do it so you can actually ultimately be traveling as you work. The next person wants to be starting a business. Completely different, like, outcomes, similar goal, but the strategy would be very, very, very different. So I always ask my clients what it is they want from their podcast. And honestly, like, even though we have, in my opinion, the highest quality production and service in the industry, I actually think that the reason why every single production client at OnTrack Studio is in that top 20% of podcasters in the world is largely to do with this question that I asked, because not only is it actually bringing a sense of intentionality to their content, which makes it a higher quality production in the way of the content and the audience, like, relationship, but also it allows the creator, the one who's executing, to really connect with the purpose behind it. And I think when we're having this discussion around sustainable growth, that connection to the big picture and the purpose behind it is so important. I don't think there'd be many people who are doing massive things for a long period of time that would disagree with me on that. Like, I mean, I'm a podcast junkie. I'm listening to all these successful people talking on shows, and every single time, without a doubt, there's this energy of purpose behind what they're doing, which is what I believe from my own experience, but also see from the people who are way ahead of me, that there's that connection piece that I think is just so important. So that's all I have to say on that topic. The next thing that I think is so important when it comes to sustainable growth as a creator is this idea of secondary gain. So, you know, we're talking about sustainability. We're obviously referring to things that you need to be sustainable at, so because it's going to go for a long time. If we know that we're going to be doing this for a long time, and say the outcome that we're chasing, say it's a multi-million dollar business, say it's 1 million followers, say it's fame, say it's complete financial freedom. I don't know. You tell me what your big goal is. We sort of know that that outcome is its destination and we're going towards it. But if we're going to be doing this for a long time, we want to be getting rewards along the way. And I actually have this conversation with my friends all the time. So, like, you know, I'm so big on enjoying the journey, because fucking why else would we be on this earth? Like, if we're chasing something and we're not enjoying the process to get there, see you fucking never. Like, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I have to work 10 years and actually hate my life. And nor should you, truly. Each their own, but that's my like full opinion there. So the way this conversation usually rolls out with my friends is they might be, okay, so I've got a variety of friends, people who are in business and people who are working, you know, for someone else. And it's funny because this conversation comes up both ways. So I've got my business friends who would be like, I am just sick of this pressure. I'm so sick of having to pay people, pay myself, work it all out, all this pressure, and, you know, just essentially being burnt out by this whole doing it all yourself kind of thing, which I 100% relate to, hold the most space for. Then there's the other side of the coin, which is these people who are like, you're so lucky because you have purpose and fulfillment in what you do for work. I hate this dead end energy that I'm working in and I'm so sick of it. Now, both of these experiences are so valid in my opinion. But what I think is, when you're working towards becoming a creator of something, whether it be your side hustle and ultimately like exit strategy from your 9 to 5 or your pathway to, you know, payment, like your income and whatever else, both these things have so much going for them in the moment. And it is so important, in my opinion, to anchor into what parts are actually really working for you. So I always ask them the question of, what would past you be so envious of your current life right now? Or if that doesn't tickle your fancy, it's what would the future version of yourself really miss about right now? And I mean, let's go for this quote unquote dead end job narrative. So if you're working for someone else and you don't necessarily see the career progression happening there, there are so many elements of what your specific job could be giving you that the version of you who's working for themselves would miss deeply. And I can speak into it because it's me. Like, hello, I could not think of anything better than a guaranteed paycheck at the end of every week. Like, I joke slash be serious that sometimes in my life, often in my life, I feel like I'm spending each month just gambling. I'm just like, all right, I'm putting the money in and I'm hoping it comes back. Fingers fucking crossed. And that can be, you know, not for everyone. It's very, it can be like, you know, it can take a toll on your nervous system. And that, you know, component of being working for someone else and having that confirmed paycheck is something that you can really anchor into. Be like, at least I know I'm going to, you know, have this money at the end of each week. What can I be doing outside of my work to be fulfilling myself? That's a conversation. But there's one thing that's really good about your current position. The other thing is, it's like, there are so many of my friends who can get away, quote unquote, get away with doing things on the clock that I'm so envious of. Like, I see every single moment of my day very important. Oh, I'm so important. No, I mean, like, I have a lot of things I need to get done. And I'm like, if I could actually go, for example, and like buy the running shoes I need that I've been needing for literally too long, like 3 months, I'm running in shoes that feel fucked because I have told myself that I need to be doing all these other things in business or prioritizing seeing friends and family over going to the shops and getting running shoes. And that's my, like, that's my choice. And this is not a pity party. But if I see some of my friends, like, they'll just, you know, sneak off to the shops to get the running shoes on the clock. And I'm like, oofed, what I would do to do that. Like, if I knew I was getting paid and it wasn't going to take away from all the things I need to get done, you best believe I'd be doing that on the clock. And I love that. Also, early finishes, you know, what else can you do? Like, are your friends awesome at work? Like, there are so many things that you might potentially miss when you are in the next phase of your life. Or the past self version of yourself would fucking envy. Like, I remember when I was working in an agency and I was like, I'm sitting in an office and it's like nice natural light, you know, yeah, I'm stressed out. Yeah, I am. But I'm like, I love the aesthetic that I'm in and it's a really comfortable, creative work environment. And I remember anchoring into that at that time. So that's like an example of some gains that you're getting in the moment that I think is really important for you to focus in on. Like, when you are in a position where you want this sustainable growth and you're working towards something. On the flip side, if you're someone who is in that kind of pressure fucking cooker because you've gone out and you've done the thing and you're sort of like, can I keep this up? Can I sustainably grow my platform, business, whatever it is you're doing? Then I would love to share my mantra with you that I anchor into whenever I am stressed out of my mind, which is a little something that goes like this.
And it goes a little something like this.
I literally just say to myself, Sophie, pressure is privilege. How privileged is it for you to care so much about what you're doing that you're actually feeling pressure from it? Like, that people would kill for. And while at the same time, I'm often trying to like relieve pressure and calm my nervous system, I do really think like if you're actually feeling pressure for what you're doing, like I really think that you're on path one way or another. You're either growing your skill set or you're growing yourself or you're growing your business and you care, which is actually really fucking cool. So there's that. And then further than that, if you are a business owner who is stressed out, like anchoring into the simple things like not having a boss or getting to give yourself a weekday off if need be, or if you can swing it with your staff and whatever else, privilege, like that's fucking cool. Or, you know, being able to just like take lunch whenever you want, like the little things, you know, or wear whatever you want. You can wear a cap to work because you're the fucking boss. You don't need to worry about uniform or whatever else. Like little things are really important to reflect on. And I often do this when I am in a really stressed out zone. It's not to take away from the external pressure or situation fire that I'm trying to put out because often it's so fucking real. Like it's so real. But it's also to be like, okay, while that is real, there's also so much privilege in your life because you have created, you've taken this step. So yeah, I think it's really important, whatever situation you're in, to really just like anchor into what am I gaining from this right now in a really positive way? And that way you can continue working towards whatever it is you're trying to create for yourself. Okay, so the third and final, and in my opinion, most important component to actually having this sustainable growth as a creator or entrepreneur is leveraging your time. So what activities are actually going to give you the biggest return on investment, be that money, be that time, be that energy right now? So let's say you're an artist who intends to sell your sculpture or painting, whatever it is, one day, and you're putting your time into the creation of that piece of art. So chances are your focus is solely there, and rightly so, right? Like, you need to create this if you want to sell it. You need to be putting your energy there. But what's going to happen at the end of your project when you've got your art, it's ready to be sold? You're going to be looking around being like, ta-da. And you may not have anyone in the room, quote unquote room, digital space or room or gallery, whatever it is. Run with this metaphor. You know I love a metaphor. You're going to have no one there to potentially sell it to, right? And I see this all the time. Like, I see this all the time, particularly in business. Like, I see these business owners creating behind the scenes, perfecting their service and product and just being like, yes, this is so good. And then going and being like ready for sale and then spiraling because no one's buying. And, you know, in both situations, like, this tends to happen. People spiral because no one's buying. And this artist, say, will make it mean my art's actually not good enough, or they might not even go that far deep into it. They think that they either think their art's not good enough, or they think my art is good, but no one gets it. And this is what I see so often, so often, when in actual fact, it's not that your art isn't good enough. It's actually the fact that no one knows about it, or you haven't been good at marketing it, so no one knows the value of it. So wouldn't it be smarter, better for you, if we're aiming for sustainable growth, to, while you're creating this painting, you're actually creating content about it. You're filming it, you're time-lapsing yourself, you're building your audience, you're inviting people in who may be interested in buying this art in on the journey, building it up. So when you actually do go to sell it, ta-da, there's at least a room full of people who are interested in what you're doing. Creating content as you go is leveraging your time so much more effectively. If you're a creator or entrepreneur in this day and age, you need to be leveraging your time and creating content as you go. I used to, when I was a marketer back in the day, the single best piece of advice that I got from a mentor was to use documentation as your marketing strategy. So what are you doing? Document it. Don't overcomplicate it. It doesn't need to be complicated. It just needs to be done. And then once you're doing it, that's when a strategic optimization tactic will come in handy. I think particularly, you know, in the podcasting space, like, people don't necessarily identify as the expert initially when they start. They're actually just really passionate about what it is they want to talk about, whether it be conversations around mental health or whether it be building awareness about a project that they've been working on. You know, maybe they're missionary people who are out saving children. I don't know. There are so many reasons why you want to be getting your voice out there, and it's not always business based. But what I think is really limiting early on when you're starting this stuff is considering yourself not an expert, so not starting yet. This is the biggest mistake. This is honestly the biggest mistake, and the best piece of advice that I would give you. And it's what I work with a lot of my, more so my coaching clients, my production clients are, you know, they're in production, so they're ready. But when people want to start and they're just using these little excuses about, like, why it is they can't execute yet, I always say you have two archetypes that you can come from. There's actually a couple more, but there's mainly two that people like to present as when they are creating something. And that is the expert, which is what most people aim for. And then there's also the enthusiast. And my biggest piece of advice is to be the enthusiast, be shamelessly the enthusiast. Like, you know, for a podcaster, for example, you don't need to know everything about the thing in order to get someone on to interview about the thing. In fact, it'll probably be a better episode if you're the most curious archetype of yourself, asking all the questions, playing dumb, and then the listeners get to learn more than if you were to be having an expert to expert discussion. So it's actually advantageous sometimes to be embody the enthusiast as opposed to the expert. Same can be said for, you know, the artist, right? I have many friends who are fucking talented in the creative space, and there's been conversations that we've had about, like, I'll be like, why aren't you making content on that? Like, that's fucking sick. And they're comparing themselves to the best in the fucking industry and being like, oh, well, that's not that good. And, you know, my sister started a sewing brand, which was fucking cool. She made all her own clothes. And I specifically remember having a pep talk with her about creating content as she goes and her being like, no, I am doing this wrong. Like, I don't know how to like sew properly, so I'm not going to create content yet. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. If you were positioning yourself as the best sew, seamstress, whatever, in the industry, in the world, online, then absolutely, I can understand why you wouldn't do that. But if you just shift the perspective or the lens in which you're coming at your content from and just be like, I'm self-taught, teaching myself to make garments for myself, that's pretty cool and entertaining to watch. And then all of a sudden, cool, her reels are going off, her TikTok's getting heaps of views, she's getting orders from people online to make her stuff. It's like, cool, if she was to just not document it initially and then go have a whole drop of clothes she wants to do and then be like, all right, hi guys, I've been behind the scenes, I've been creating like garments for the last 6 months, who wants to buy it? Literally no one. Like literally no one's ready yet, potentially, maybe someone. But whereas instead she wasn't even initially going to be custom making for people, she's just creating content, having fun with it, being the enthusiast, and then getting orders come in, she's making an income. Hello, people want to know how to monetize a platform. My sister just did it. Like people are overcomplicating it. And yeah, Emily's going to love she's got this mention. My sister Emily, that is. Shout out queen, go get it. Anyway, that's why I'm so passionate about leveraging your time. And obviously when you're talking about creating something, you're going to need to build an audience if you ultimately want that exit strategy from your job. So I'm really passionate about like the monetization element of building a platform, audience following, all that stuff. And that's why I'm a big advocate for creating content as you go. And I think if you're in the growth for the long haul, having that setup where you're leveraging your time, where you're getting those secondary gains and you're acknowledging them, and that you're being really, I guess, clear on what your goal is and uncovering any little limiting expectations that are stopping you from actually going hard is the key to have this sustainable growth in this day and age. That's actually all I want to talk to today. I am so happy to be back on Big Brand Energy, and let me know what you think of the energizer phrase. Like, where'd we land with that? I'm actually going to put a poll. If you're listening on Spotify, I want you to vote on the poll if you're into the energizer phrase, because, you know, if it's going to catch on, I'm going to roll with it. But that's literally all I have to say. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day, night, commute, whatever you're doing. And I'll be back in your ears in no time. Peace out.